centuries later, they have the land, they came to the land, but even though the land that they have right now is not everything that actually God promised. So, you know, I mean, and so, you know, I know there's things that we need to pay attention. We're a prophetic people, and God gives us signs and different things that we need to know the seasons and the time, be as men of Issachar, to know the seasons and the times and know what to do. And sometimes Israel is a time clock. Israel is a time clock, and things happen in Israel to give us, you know, why, you know, signs, and, you know, there's signs in the heaven, in, you know, the earth, the stars and the moon and the things that we've seen lately, you know, there's signs. God is constantly speaking and talking to us. So anyway, I just came across this video and I just started weeping because he is calling Israel back. He doesn't want them to roam. And our hearts are for Israel. They are a precious people. We've been to Israel twice, and I can't tell you, there was a time when we were at the Wailing Wall, and me and my friend Cheryl, we were praying, and just praying and praying, and I don't know what we were praying exactly, it was several years ago, but coming back from there, you know, you can't turn, okay, we respect their ritual, okay, might be religious to us, but anyway, I disrespect, we are in the land of Israel, so you're not supposed to go backwards and face the wall. Yeah, you're not supposed to turn your back to the wall. And so me and Cheryl are going back like this. And then all of a sudden, a guy from nowhere just comes up to us. I believe it really was an angel. And he said, "Pray for my brothers and sisters. Pray for Israel." You know, it was just like I felt in a way at that moment, it was something that God gave us a mandate to, you know, pray for Israel and for their people, and then he was gone in a second. I mean, we didn't even get to share or anything. That was probably very courageous for him to do that, to speak that in that holy place. And so we do have, a mandate to really pray for Israel, and sometimes we don't talk about it a lot because some people can't connect to that. I get it. I couldn't either for a long time. Like my friend Cheryl was like, whoa, she was like the Israel person ever. She'd been there 7 or 8 times, you know? And I said, like, gosh, Lord, I don't have that. You know, I don't have that connection with Israel. Years ago, I would pray that I would understand the connection that we have with Israel and how important it is to pray for Israel. And the Lord promises many things when we do. And so anyway, so as you know, we're going kind of through the book of Joshua, and we went through 1st 2 chapters, so we just started. A lot of things came in between. We had a couple things that happened, like we had all worship and praise last week, which was awesome, and prayer. We didn't do any message. And so it was kind of, yeah, and then we had Resurrection Sunday, and so we didn't get back to the book of Joshua. Today we're in the book of Joshua, but, you know, we were thinking, what is God, why does he want us to study an Old Testament book? You know, and it was just like the Lord was reminding me how sovereign, how powerful he really was. He is a gentle shepherd, but he's a powerful, mighty God. And so when I was looking, and somehow I came across, this is so, is this coincidence or what? I don't know. But Wednesday, there's a Jewish holiday that is called Yom HaAliyah. Okay, and what it is, they celebrate the crossing of the Jordan. And here, we're studying just that this week, when they're supposed to be celebrating that on Wednesday, and here we are, we're learning about the crossing of the Jordan. I don't think that's by coincidence. I think God is speaking to us and wants us to learn something from that passage of Scripture. Because all Scripture is God-breathed, right? All Scripture is God-breathed. And so we need to ask the Lord. So anyway, so I was looking at this month is a Jewish month of Nisan. And many things happened. I think Dutch Sheets that just put out, there were so many things that happened in Nissan. I don't know if I wrote it down. Noah's flood, the Red Sea crossing, Joshua, the crossing in Jordan, and resurrection, the resurrection day, all in this month. There's something about that because it all is saying victory, deliverance, salvation, and all of those things. We see God's deliverance, his salvation, his goodness through all this. You know, before even, you know, God is a promise-keeping God. So even if Jesus did yet not come, his promise was as good for Israel today that there was a promise. And if you, like Abraham, believed the promise that caused him to be righteous. Doesn't that say that in Romans 4? You know, when we believe, we become the righteousness of Christ. It's not our righteousness. And so this was like, wow, this is so awesome, God, that you showed me that. This, and Aliyah, maybe some of you know, some of you don't, but it's when they return. They return to the Lord. They return to their homeland. It's Aliyah. They're again a nation. They're all, you know, they understand that this gift of God is their land that God gave them. And it was just like Aliyah means ascent, to go up. And I say that he's saying that today, and it was so awesome, Amanda, your word as well, you know, saying it's time. We're going up. We're going to another level. It's not that it's never been there before. It's been, but God is opening our revelation. I think, Don, you said something about that. It said God is opening our revelation to the more of things that he has for this season, for what we need to know, that we need to move in, that we need to experience that, and we need to tap into and be a partner with God in the earth. That's what he's looking for. It's nice to feel good about yourself. It's great. We need to have that because you can't go into a battle shrunken down. But you go in as a conqueror and an overcomer. But there is a reason why God is calling us in prayer, in worship. You know, that's where the battle is won so often. In prayer and in praise and worship. That's my choice when I get frustrated. You know, and I love the idea, I just wrote that down, the mantle of trust that we need to learn to pick up, the mantle of trust. And so often we're always trying to figure out things on our own and trying to figure out what is it that I need to do when I just need to rest and trust God that he is with me and he will show me when I need it. When I need to be shown, when I need to move, when I need to just stay and rest. And so it was so good, that song. That's the best part. I think we have a little, at one time for a women's ministry, right? We had a little necklace that said, Lord, take me to where my trust is without borders. That's saying something. I thought, like, wow, should I say that? Because it's like, you know, he's going to kick off all the borders, that our trust is going to be so open that we will not go with fear, but with complete trust in the confidence of the goodness and the love of God, that he takes us in good places and he causes us to be strong in those challenging times. Amen? Whew. So Aliyah, you know, in the crossing, that's what they were doing in the book of Joshua, in chapter 3, and we can open there, but it's just like in that crossing, God wanted Israel to get a clear distinction between themselves and really know who they were and accept the sovereignty of God unto the nations of the world, that they could be, like we sang, salt and light. And so they were called. So it wasn't just about just being happy where we are, da-da-da-da. It was something God was calling us and sending us into. It's ascending. We're called, we're sent to places to bring salt and light. And so in this crossing, you know, there's a scripture, I don't know if I wrote it down. I'm all over the place, sorry. But it's like there's a scripture about we're supposed to be a light, that Jewish people are to be a light to the Gentiles. Do you remember that scripture? It's in Isaiah somewhere. But anyway, and so they're so good. It's like they understand the root purpose of their life is to bring light to nations. And now we are the spiritual Israel. We join with that purpose to bring salt and to bring light to nations, to people, right? And so in this place, you know, here it is, Isaiah 42:6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will take hold of your hand, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the Gentiles. It's interesting how we are grafted into this call. Aren't we grafted in? Doesn't it talk? We are grafted in into this amazing covenant. So in this book of Joshua, and we'll start to read in a second, I just want to say this, everything just fits so good today with the worship and the words. It's so much about when we cross the Jordan, and we have Jordans to cross that we felt like we were on one side of the Jordan, but God, he's given us healing and deliverance to cross over. And then I was thinking, we went to a conference the other week down in Chicago, and they sang the song, breaking through to the other side, breaking through to the other side. Remember that song? And it's just like, yeah, you know? I mean, it is true. Maybe you need to do that one, Angie. But it's just like, yes, we are broken through, but in our mindset sometimes we feel trapped into a old mindset, and God is taking us out of our own mindsets to put on the new man, to understand who we are as a new man, that we don't have to try to come against the old man, but step in and walk in the new man he's already made for us, because he did it. And so anyway, the Jewish people understand that. If you really go back to people that really know the Torah and some of the stuff, and we say, oh, they're religious, they're Jewish, but there is an insight that they have, because they had to carry this word. They had to write this word over and over and tell this word. They carried the Bible. You would not have the Bible if it was not for the Jewish people. Jesus, I mean, it said, the salvation shall come from the Jews. That is Jesus. He was a Jew, right? So there's things that God has destined for the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, to bring light, even in their blindness. Even in their blindness. You know, it's like a lot of them have either lawyers or doctors. They feel their life is a gift to give the world. And isn't that how we should be as we are in Christ? And we have a lot to give because of the Christ in us. Amen? So we're learning lessons in this of trust. Oh, I just can't believe how everything just lined up. So God wants our trust and surrender to him. And I say that no condemnation, or that you have to strive in any of this, because God is just so good. It's just so easy. I just feel like, is the Lord saying today, give me a fresh yes of surrender to you today, Lord. You know, a fresh yes. I said yes, but maybe there's things in my life I need a fresh yes. That, Lord, I surrender to you fully and completely again. You know, if I've held anything back, or, you know, or if I've been stubborn and I just don't want to learn anything new. How about that? When God's trying to show revelation to us. I mean, he's ever teaching us. He's ever showing us. He's bringing revelation knowledge. But sometimes, oh, I know that. How many have said that? Oh, I've seen that. And it's like maybe there's something fresh on it that we need to come to understand, because he takes us from faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. And if we stop growing, if we stop learning, you know, it's just like, oh, we're just saying, I know everything about God. Can you ever know everything about God? I mean, it's just like God wants to continue to show himself to us in amazing ways. So he wants us to understand him. And so maybe we need a fresh surrender to the Lord and just surrender things that maybe we held on to too long, or maybe we gave to the Lord but took back. Yeah, I've done that. And it's just like, I just feel the Lord says, I want you to come to me. I want you to trust me. I am with you. I am for you, right? So when Israel left Egypt in the wilderness, they had to deal with trust. They had to trust him in the desert. Wow. But yet they saw the miracles of God. You know, all the miracles he did, how he brought them out of Egypt, you know, but yet they were going into a place that they knew that the spies went ahead and said what? There's giants in the land. And so it was like, oh my gosh, okay, I got some challenges maybe, right? But all in that, God said in his word, that he would be with them and he would promise him the victory. And why didn't God just make a clean sweep and we can just walk on and be happy and just take the land? But it's God wants us to partner with him. He wants to partner on, because God wants to breathe on our humanness and bring supernatural increase. How about that? How about that? That we walk in supernatural increase. Come on. Amen. So there was a partnership, and then we see this in the scripture in Joshua 3. There was a partnership. There was something the people had to do. There was something Joshua had to command. There was something that they had to move in. They couldn't just say, yeah, I believe, but there was something that they had to do, right? And so sometimes I think we know it's all God, that he did everything. But sometimes we need to catch it and take it as our own and walk in it. And so there was a partnership of their effort and God's grace. What is God's grace? God's grace is his empowerment. So it's the very thing God wanted to demonstrate in the earth from day one, is the partnership that we have. You know, when we did the Song of Songs, there's a scripture in there that we ride on the mountains with the bridegroom king. And I just think, what a beautiful thing a marriage is of the testimony of God in his church, the Lord in his church. And so he has not changed that. There's things he wants us to co-partner with him as we are one in him, as our union is one, like a marriage. There's things God is going to use us to bring supernatural increase in the earth. Come on. We have resurrection power. We have the living waters within us pouring out for those that need hope and joy and deliverance and peace and all those things that God's given with us in that river within us. You know, someone said there's no such a thing. You know, people say, oh, I'm really dry. How can you be dry with the living water always residing within you? You know, and it's just like, you know what? It's because we don't realize. We forget. Aren't we so human that we forget that God sets up all these guideposts to remind us of his goodness? So when if you feel that way, you feel, you know, and a lot of times we shouldn't go on feelings. We have to go on what the Word of God says and stand on it. You know, we have to believe that God's put a well of life in you to bring healing and deliverance and peace and joy to those around you. So there was a partnership. And here, my prayer, teach us, Lord, what it looks like to have the natural and the supernatural partner together, right? His supernatural in me and my, you know, my humanness, you know, we can partner together. So chapter 1, we talked about was a transition. Moses was dead, right? But God gives instruction, encouraging word that he would be with them. Every place his soles of their feet would take them, he would give them the land. This is a promise. Chapter 2, Joshua sends spies into Jericho. Rahab, remember Rahab, the most unlikely, a prostitute. But yet, she helped the spy. She co-partnered when she heard the stories of the God of Israel. She says, I need to be a part of that. And she heard the stories, and she trusted in that scarlet cord that hung down from the wall that spared her and her family. So are we, that we trust in the scarlet cord, the blood of Jesus, right? So she trusted Israel. She trusted God to save her and her people, her household. But not only that, Rahab was a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Think about that. A prostitute. But how good is God? How great is his mercy? How great? So chapter 3, and Jesus is our heavenly Joshua. So we're going to read Joshua 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. So it's like God is leading us. Are we listening? Are we hearing? Are we moving from our position of what, well, I think I need to do this, and God's telling me to do that. You know, do we know more than God? We come again to that trust in the very love and character of God. It's easy to submit when you understand the mercy and the love of God. It's easy. But the hard part is accepting that that's who he is. And we have the most hard time of doing that. So then, going on. And then you will know where to go, since you've never been there before. But keep a distance about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. And Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I will go back to that later. Let's just read through. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of him. And then the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. And Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand in a heap. Wow. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage. All during the harvest. This was a harvest time in April. This is right now. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at the town of Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the sea of Arabath, the salt sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of Jordan while all of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Wow. You know, Dick and I were talking about, you know, it's funny how our minds are. I was thinking, oh, just crossing a river, you know, I was thinking like stepping on these stones, going across the river one by one. Heck no, man. They were like thousands across coming. There was 2.5 million people. They weren't going one by one. You know how long that would take? So there was a width that they took. They went across the river with, I mean, about 2 miles long. We were just kind of trying to calculate and see how many people, you know, and I mean, it was a big deal, but, you know, we've made these things, and I hate to say stories. I say accounts of God in humanity, because this happened. This was such a supernatural happening, and our God is so supernatural that he works within our humanness and causes us to see great and mighty miracles. And we will see great and mighty miracles yet more today. Amen? I believe there's going to be amazing healings and miracles coming forth. And so we you know, just this, in the New Testament, it says these stories are put in there so that you could grasp on how mighty is our God. One time I remember studying a lot in the Old Testament, and even though we are new covenant, we are under the blood, there's something that we need to understand the character of God. Even in the Old Testament with Jonah, like I said, he showed his loving compassion and mercy. He was not a God that did not want to redeem and bring restoration to this earth. And so even back then, before Jesus died on the cross, Jesus made that commitment in heaven, in the circle of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, I'll go down. Father, send me. And he did. And that was made a long time ago. Even before, well, when Adam, you know, had fallen and misunderstood who he really was. And so, anyway, so let's go back to a couple things. I think we can see that this is a scripture. It talks about the type and the shadow, you know, like what exists in heaven. God dwells on the mercy seat. He was merciful with all the complaining and all the stuff that Israel did in the desert, yet he still had a redemptive plan, didn't he? So, in Hebrews 7, they talk about it being a type and a shadow of what exists in heaven, and God dwells on the mercy seat. Jesus is our mercy, and as we sang that, mercy triumphs over judgment. His presence, his blood covenant, we need to remember these things. On the earth, the Ark Covenant was such a sacred article. I don't know if you remember, anybody watch those Harrison Ford movies, The Temple of the Doom or something? And do you remember the one with the Ark of the Covenant? It was like, boom, lightning and all this, you know, it's like, ooh, scary stuff. And I was thinking about that. I wonder if that's how they looked at God. But you know what? They did recognize his presence, and they reverenced his presence. And it's so good that we can come, as Hebrews 10 says, we come to the throne room of grace with great confidence that he will give us grace in our time of need, that there's no fear because of what Jesus did. Amen? So the instructions was the priest would lead the way in the Jordan River, and the people would follow it and go after it. And so out of this, I just felt there's like basic instructions. God has prepared the people to enter into the land. How many know that sometimes there's a preparation God takes us through? You know, it's just like I know today what I didn't know yesterday. It's just like we're coming into greater revelation and knowledge. God is always teaching. As long as you're teachable. You know, God is going to teach you. God's going to instruct you. God's going to show you great things. So the first thing was to follow the Lord's lead. And so ask how he's leading. Put God in front of all your decisions. Seek him and ask God. Follow God's leading. How is he making a way? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else would be added. So if we seek him, if we seek, we will find the scripture. Ask and it shall be opened to you. These are things that's, but sometimes we can get in front of God and put other things in front of God, or we make a rash decision without seeking God and asking for some counsel, because he's a counselor too, right? So don't get in front of God. So often we make our plans, but ask, and you know, just ask God, what would he know? Doesn't he know the beginning and the end of everything? And there's some things, I think, I don't know if it was you, Donna, but there's some things the Lord really has given you, dreams and visions that are him already. But he'll give you instructions how to use that well, how to steward that well. So in verse 5, Joshua said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. You know, sometimes I think we look at that as an Old Testament word, that we have to be consecrated, like we have to say a million prayers and fast for 100 days, or, you know, it's not that kind of consecration. The word is kadosh, concentrate, purify. And purify is not perfection. There's a difference how we look at that. When we have communion, sometimes we're asked to examine ourselves. You know, it's just that, you know, sometimes we need to still see, as the word says, it's not to condemn us, but see, am I lined up with you, Lord? Or have I strayed and went on my own way and, you know, lost my perspective of what heaven is for me? You know what I mean? Like we get into, you know, the enemy likes to throw lies at us. So sometimes it's about examining, are there lies being thrown at us that we're believing, you know? And so that we come into his perspective and his ways. And, you know, because he's the one who loves us the most, right? Someone said a quote, the church pure is a church powerful. And I was just thinking about that. We are already pure because of the blood of Jesus. Don't get me wrong. The finished work is the finished work. But sometimes our minds, you know, get off track. And so notice how Joshua didn't say, sharpen your swords for the battle. You know, he didn't say that. He didn't say, get ready for the battle. He didn't even say that. He said, consecrate, purify yourselves. And that's just, you know, that's just, you know, saying, Lord, my heart is yours, whatever you want, you know, and show me what you want. May my thoughts, my heart be aligned to what you desire. So, and then I guess you could say, my heart, is it totally abandoned to him and him alone? And sometimes we don't understand that Jesus, God, is a jealous lover. He wants all of us. He pursues us. He loves us so every day. And God knows the meditation of our hearts. Here's a quote from Bill Johnson when he said, the meditation of our heart is louder in heaven than our voice is on earth. Think about that. The meditation of our heart. Psalms 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalms 119:15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Oh, I think it was Kathleen who said, to fix our eyes on him. He wants us to know him for whatever we need. He wants our hearts, and he knows our needs. You know, no other lovers. You know, education, career, fame. Some people, drugs is their idol, alcohol, money. No other idols. He wants us to abandon ourselves totally to him. And so I heard someone say, well, having money is not evil, okay? Being rich is not evil. God wants us to be wealthy. There's a difference between, I think we learned it, riches, poverty, and wealth. But he wants us to be wealthy. So money isn't the problem. It's not about the amount of money, but the heart condition. So it's not a sin to be rich. But how much is too much? How much is too much? Whatever misplaces your trust in God. So whatever you trust more than God, you know, he's calling us back to that place of trust, of place of a fresh yes, of surrender. It says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Remember, purity is not perfection. We are already innocent because of the blood of Jesus. So may our hearts burn with passion and have a heart that desires to learn how to walk in the new man with a pure heart, to have a desire to know, love, and serve God, lovingly obedient to his will and his way. Obedient isn't, he's not a taskmaster. There's a place for obedience where you're moving and aligning with him, and just, and he brings us. I mean, I can say there's a lot of people that aren't, you know, that they aren't sorry they obeyed God. How about you? But I can tell you there's some people I know that are sorry they did disobey God, because they found themselves in kind of a mess. But God still, don't ever forget, he's a redeemer and he's a restorer. So the third thing is walk by faith. So in Joshua 3:9-15, we read that. Okay. And so maybe you can go back and read it. But it's really about walking by faith and not by sight. And so this miracle provided clear evidence that the living God was among his people. And that's why I really feel God is going to move miracles, signs, and wonders, because the people need to know that we serve a living, powerful God, and that God strengthens us so that we can face the problems that we see even in this world today. If we don't have hope, we don't have the gospel. And we have to carry the hope that's within us. So without such power, they could have not taken the walled cities. They had an example before them. They saw all this in the midst of all that. And so they advanced forward in spite of the giants' opposition to conquer the land. So when I say trust, when we talked about trust, the mantle of trust, Jesus, give us trust without borders. You know, if we can believe in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, why can't we believe him for anything? Just think of what he's done. He's still a miracle working God. Hallelujah. So figuratively, we can look at this also as an example of the old Adam life was buried at the crossing, and we were resurrected with him to possess our inheritance as a free people, as Romans 6:3-4 says. The waters of death and judgment stopped flowing when Jesus, our Savior, was crucified, and now we believe. The fountain of living water opens within us. But the part two, we are also called in 1 Peter 2:9. We are a royal priesthood who stand in the finished work. We stand in the dry ground of the cross and the resurrection of Christ, who carried the ark of his glory in our hearts. So it's like we're a royal priesthood. We're to stand on the promises of God. We're to intercede and pray and believe God for salvation, deliverance to happen. Amen? So in the next chapter, it just talks about, we won't go there, about stones of remembrance. And some Ken brought that up. Boy, there, see how everything just, he gave it. I mean, thank you, Ken, for sharing that. Really, thank you, because these are testimonies of God's faithfulness. We need to hear those testimonies. That's why when you read this, don't think it was just some story that happened a long time ago, but this is an example of who our God is. And if we don't understand who our God is, we need to know that, because then we'll know who we are, as we know who God is. And so when Ken shared that testimony, I thought, yes, you understood. You came to another level to see the faithfulness, the mercy, the goodness, the love of God, the power of God to bring forth a good and expected and an awesome result because of the mightiness of God that you put your trust in. And so in that next chapter, they talk about building stones of remembrance, putting stones. They had 12 men from each tribe, and they came and they made a memorial of stones. And you know, we did that one year, that we had 12 people come up and erect a monument to remember the power of God, of what God did. We can't forget, because we need to understand the mightiness of our God. If we lost that, you know, how can we go on? Because we need Jesus, we need God every step of the way for the challenges and the things that we see in the earth. But God is calling us to live out in faith, walk out in faith, and remember and give testimony of those things, that how great is our God. How great is our God. How great is our God that he does all these things. And so let there be an altar. Let there be stones of remembrance of all the things. And I, you know what, I bet each and every one of you can put a stone and say, this is what God did for me. This is how I saw God deliver my family. This is how God brought salvation. This is how I came across a really difficult time. We all have stones of remembrance, and we can't forget. We are of human nature, right? Weakness sometimes, you know, we forget. We can't forget. We can't forget the goodness of God, the power of God, the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, the truth of God's word, and how important it is to remember his faithfulness, his sovereignty, and his holiness. His holiness. And maybe we think that's like an Old Testament word, and it's kind of fearful, holiness, whoa. No, holiness just means he so completely loves you perfectly in holiness. He can do no wrong for you, because he loves you in holiness. And he gave that to us. He says, be holy as I am holy. He sustains us in his holiness, and we are sustained because he gives that holiness to us. Amen? So I just felt like, how to end this? What did I say? I was just like, I think we just ask the Lord if you need to give him a fresh yes today. You know, there's nothing wrong with short accounts with God. You know what I mean? I just feel sometimes like I do. I need them. It's just like, you know, it's not that I'm sinful and far, you know, from the Lord and all that. No, it's just sometimes our mind gets filled with a lot of other things and distracts us. Right? Do you get distracted? Am I the only one here? Okay. And it's just like, you know, I just need to, Lord, take me back. Take me back where I see you in the center of it all, that you are. No matter what's going around me, no matter swirling around me, trying to get my attention and try to keep my eyes off of you and try to tell me that you're not big enough, you're not strong enough to do this, that I can come back and just say, I give you my fresh yes, to surrender to you wholly and completely. I am completely yours. You know, he said, I am yours. The Lord said that. He is ours. Are we his completely and fully?